Tonight I'll be preaching from the book of Philippians chapter 1, and I'll be reading just one verse there, Philippians chapter number 1, and let's find our places in verse number 27, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says there, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to be children of God, to be involved in the work of God, to see great things accomplished for your honor and for your glory. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. May you bless in a special way. Give me the words you'll have me to say. Help me to be an encouragement to each one here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. You ever notice that it's so much more common to be acquainted with people's success than it is to be acquainted with what it took them to achieve success? You see, my friends, success is glamorous. Success is celebrated. It is exposed. It is reported. It is advertised. Someone gets to a particular position or accomplishes a particular feat, it is something to be in awe of, to be inspired about. And so it gets headlines. It gets visibility. And so large groups of people, the masses, so to speak, get to witness an individual's success. Think of a person in the Olympics standing on that podium, receiving a gold medal before the entire world. Wow! Success. But on the other hand, the hard work that it took to get to that point is often hardly ever seen. It's done in private. It's not celebrated. It's often hidden. It's not glamorous. In fact, I would suggest to you that it is boring. It is hard. And it's never often advertised to the masses. I say that tonight to indicate to all of us that privileges come with responsibilities. These are two things that go together. They're intertwined. When you see someone who has accomplished something great, understand that that's not the whole story. The responsibilities and disciplines that had to be embraced in order to achieve such success. We've been in this series for a little while that I've entitled Church Member Responsibilities. And as been echoed here tonight, I believe that in large part we understand that being a part of a church is a privilege. It is a benefit to be a servant for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, my friends, what we are involved in is not the work of man, it's the work of God. And the church, my friend, is God's kingdom-building vehicle here on planet Earth. And there are many benefits that we experience, but understand and hear me well, that along with the benefits that we experience, that we may often take for granted, come responsibilities. And so tonight, I'm continuing really a message that I began under this series as by way of responsibility for every church member. And it's outlined in verse number 27 that we are, as members of the Church of the Living God, we have a responsibility to strive together for church growth. You see, my friend, this is not a one-person responsibility. It's a collective effort, as the Apostle Paul points out here in this epistle to the church at Philippi. He says, that I may hear of your fears, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving what? Together for the faith of the gospel. You see, my friend, there are great things that can be accomplished when we individually embrace this responsibility and do it together. I'm telling you, the sky is the limit. And so we have looked at this thus far, and I know it's been a while, so you might not necessarily remember. You might have to back up a little bit there on the screen. But by way of recap, we understand that the first thing that was necessary in order to strive together for church growth is that there must be, first of all, an example. There must be an example to follow. You see, my friend, true spiritual growth will always be stunted outside of a proper Christ-like example. So before we can even think about striving, before we can even think about doing great things for God, we must establish foundationally the building block of a good example. We saw this in the church at Philippi, and the Apostle Paul spoke of them and how what they had done was getting reported all around, because this was a church that was there for him, and they had the benefit and the responsibility of embracing being a good example. We saw, secondly, if we're going to strive for growth, when you have an example, notice, secondly, there is an effect. In effect. You see, when an example is noteworthy, it then begins to be propagated. Others begin to see a difference in our lives, and they begin to talk about it. You see, my friend, people are going to talk whether you live right or not. So it makes sense to live right. Don't think that they're not talking and they're not watching. And so the Apostle Paul mentions here that, listen, when you have an example, there's going to be an effect. There's going to be a consequence. And there's going to be the propagation of your testimony. And also, there's going to be peace in tribulation. Because you understand and recognize that I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not doing what I do for human applause. I'm not doing what I'm doing for commendation, but I'm doing it for the Lord. And so even when there is tribulation, I can have peace because I know I'm honoring the Lord. Tonight, I want us to just touch on the third thing here and the third and final thing very briefly tonight. And I'll leave you with this. But understand with me well, again, the importance of an example. That example leads to an effect. It begins to be noticed by others in a positive way. And then, you can then embrace what I call execution. You can then implement some things. This is where you can actually then strive together for the faith of the gospel. You see, my friend, there is no striving together without a good example. There is no striving together without the effect of that example being recognized by others who can then look and say, wow, there's something different about this group of people. And so once we have an example, once that effect has taken place, then we can embrace the execution of striving together for the faith of the gospel. I'm going to just give you one thing here, and we can chew on this week. But the first thing I want you to understand by way of execution is found here in verse number 27. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. That ye may stand, what? Fast. Stand fast in one spirit. And here's the thing that we must understand. In order to stand fast, my friend, we must stand on principles. Principles. You see, you cannot stand fast if you're standing on something that's shifty. You cannot stand fast if you are trying to get your footing on something that is shaky. And see, my friend, when it comes to living the Christian life, we must ensure that we live our life not based on our feelings, but we live our life based on principles. You see, principles represent a solid foundation. You ever try standing in fast-moving water? You ever at the beach and there is a huge wave that topples you over and you're trying to stand up? It's not going to work. Can you imagine trying to stand in quicksand? Good luck. You see, my friend, just like you cannot stand fast physically on something that is not solid, to stand fast in life here on earth, we must live our life based on principles. You see, principles are not like feelings. Feelings change all the time. Feelings go up and feelings go down and feelings go all around. They change. But when it comes to principles, principles remain the same. Do you know that you can't build a strong marriage based on feelings? Listen, the best marriage you could ever find, there are times when the individuals in that marriage wake up and they don't feel like they're in love. As a matter of fact, sometimes they feel like, listen, I wish I could just run away and hide for a few days. Oh, I get real quiet in here. I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes you wake up and you feel like you're just close as ever, nothing between you. And the next morning you wake up and you feel like you're as distant as anything. But listen, you can't base your marriage and your commitment based on that. It has to be based on a principle that I made, a vow. It's a commitment that's not based on your feelings. Do you realize that when it comes to your responsibility to the local church, that you ought not to live this Christian life based on your feelings? My friend, let it not be that your willingness to be involved in the work of God, to get up on a Sunday morning, to get up on a Wednesday, to get up and do what God has called you to do, that you don't do that based on how you feel. Do you realize that the pastor doesn't feel like he wants to come to church every Sunday? But I'm here. And when you come, you give it everything you've got. Because it's not based on feelings. It's based on a principle of commitment and dedication to the Lord. But you know something that I've realized? That there are certain things that people, they do based on feelings, but some things they do based on principle. And I'm probably preaching to the choir here. But you realize that oftentimes people go to church based on how they feel when they wake up. But they don't go to work based on how they feel when they wake up. They go regardless. Oh, they say, oh, the boss paying me. I got to go whether I feel good or not. But when I listen to that rational and I've heard that rational, I think to myself, wait, you all think it's only the boss that pays people? God pays people. God pays people. So if you're going to go based on the fact that the boss said to come, and you're going to go based on the fact that the boss pays you, my friend, God pays people too. So when you live your life based on principle. It's going to keep you standing firm. It's going to keep you standing fast in a world that is topsy-turvy. I'm telling you, if you're not standing on principle, this world, it will toss you to and fro. It will flip you over. But principles will keep you standing fast. I trust that God will help us What a privilege it is to live your life based on the word of God that endureth and abideth forever. Let's endeavor as a church to continue to strive together, to stand fast for the faith of the gospel. If we're going to do it, the only chance we have is to ensure that we live our life based on what? Principles. Not feelings. We are feeling oriented. They're part of our human existence. And by the way, feelings are not bad. Feelings are necessary. They're important. They are like an emotional meter. They indicate to us. They give us indicators. But we cannot live our lives based on our feelings. We must live our lives based on principles so that we can stand when things get shaky.